Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Show. Our guest today is Auburn running backs coach Tim Horton. Tim Horton enters his fourth season as Auburn's running backs coach. He tutors the kickoff and punt returners and has an added duty of recruiting coordinator. During his career, Horton has coached seven all-SEC running backs, seven different 1,000-yard rushers, and two of the SEC's all-time single-season rushing leaders in Trey Mason and Darren McFadden. We're excited to have Coach here today to hear more about what he does coaching the Auburn Tigers. Coach Horton, welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast.
Hey, thank you, Keith. It's an honor to be a part of your program and looking forward to the day.
Coach, let's get right into it here and talk about what is it, why did you become a football coach?
Well, I grew up in a coaching family. My father was a longtime assistant coach at the University of Arkansas, so I grew up in that environment. When I was in high school, he became the head coach at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway, Arkansas. And so I had been around, you know, college football my entire life. I played football at the University of Arkansas, and after my junior season, a gentleman by the name of Jerry Moore became the head coach at Appalachian State. And after my senior football season, Coach Moore asked me to come to Boone, North Carolina, and be a part of his staff. And so, Keith, I had never been to North Carolina. I'd certainly never been to Boone, but I went out there with Coach Moore and was there for 9 years, and it was a fabulous experience, and it just got me hooked. And so I've been coaching ball ever since.
Coach, what did you learn in those early years that became key points in your development as a coach?
Well, I really think, Keith, everywhere you go, you're going to learn. And so I think you learn not just from the person or the head coach that you work for, but you learn from the assistant coaches, you learn from the players, you learn from the high school coaches whose schools you go into and recruit. And so everywhere I've been, I've really tried to learn as much as I could from just the environment and where I was. And sometimes learning isn't just learning the right way to do it or the best way to do it. I think you can learn, hey, I know if this happens again, what not to do. But Jerry Moore was a tremendous coach, an even better person. He won three national championships at Appalachian. He's the winningest coach in the history of the Southern Conference. So I think probably the biggest thing that I learned from Coach Moore in those early years was just how to treat people and the relationships that you had with your players and your coaches, and that's something that I still try to have today. It's all about the relationship part.
It's definitely about the relationships, Coach. What are some key things that you do to build those relationships with your players? Obviously, for you, it starts in recruiting, but then the process continues on as they grow through your program. What are some of the things you do?
Well, Keith, I think first and foremost, your players, they need to know that you care, and you really care, and you've got their backs. I mean, that was one of the things my second job after Appalachian State was at the Air Force Academy and worked for another Hall of Fame coach named Fisher DeBerry. And one of the things that I always observed with Coach DeBerry at the Air Force Academy is if you had a kid that maybe got in some type of trouble at the academy, maybe he didn't salute the right person or he was chewing gum in class or something that, you know, we might not think of as that big, and they got in some type of trouble, Fisher DeBerry was going to go to bat for that kid. He was going to go fight for his kids. And I think that's very important, is your kids need to know that, hey, you've got their back. You're out for their best interest. You're going to care about them, whether they're the first team quarterback or the fifth team center. It doesn't really matter. And so that was a great lesson that I learned from Coach DeBerry that I try to apply every day, is the relationship part making sure they know that you care. Then the other component, I think, is just spending time with your players. I mean, it's just like, you know, your relationship with your wife or your children. You know, you're not going to have a great relationship with people unless you spend time with them. And so whether it's having players over to your house or going, you know, playing cornhole or shooting baskets or hanging out in the office, watching film together, you know, just trying to spend time with your football players and them making sure that they know you care about them.
Coach, you've had a history of successful running backs, seven who have gone over the 1,000-yard mark, and obviously those relationships and what you've built has translated to be, you know, allowing you to coach them on the field. What are some of the keys to coaching the running back position that you focus on that have made your guys successful?
Well, I think first and foremost, you get what you demand out of your players. And you know, you're right. I've been blessed to coach a lot of really good players, from Darren McFadden to Felix Jones to Peyton Hillis to Niall Davis to Trey Mason to Cameron Artis Payne to Corey Grant to Peyton Barber to Cameron Petway. I mean, guys that have, you know, had great college careers, and many of them moved on to the pros. And the one quality that – the few qualities that each one of those kids had was, number one, they were workers, and they would work. And two, they wanted to be coached. And to be honest, I didn't want to let them down, you know, because I've always felt like coaching, you're in a partnership with whatever player you're coaching. And whatever player's talent level that is, it's your job as a coach to just take it higher and higher. And so, obviously, you recruit good players, but at the same time, can you help get that player that's a 7 or a 7.5 up to an 8, 8.5, or a 9? And I think it starts with making sure that you've got a kid that's got some character, that's got some work ethic, that's got great attitude, that wants to get coached. And then as far as the coaching aspect of it, I really believe in the little things. I mean, it's whether it's your stance, your first step, how you take care of the ball, assignment-wise, all those little things that compose being sound fundamentally, those are just the things that I believe in. And I'm convinced that those are the things that can help a player be the best that they can possibly be.
Coach, take us through the coaching of those fundamentals. What's a typical individual period or individual practice look like for your running backs?
Well, the first thing I look at is, how much time do I have? And really, when I think about running back play, I think of four components or four things that running backs do during the course of a play or a game. There's only four. They run with the ball, they catch the ball, they protect in terms of pass protection, and they fake. And really, those are the only four things that a player does. And so those are the four big pillars or categories that we're going to practice. So, for example, if we get 15 minutes of individual time during the course of a day, I'll spend 5 minutes working on some type of running skill, improving as a runner. That may be, and probably my favorite running skill drill is the blaster, you know, the piece of equipment that they'll run through where, hey, they've got to make sure that their pad level is down, that they're taking care of the football. It develops a toughness once they get out of their blaster. I like to make them make some kind of move on the coach or another player or something like that. So if I get 15 minutes, 5 minutes will be devoted to improving as a runner. Then typically 5 minutes will be devoted to improving as a pass catcher. Now, one of the things that we're going to do daily is pre-practice, before practice ever starts, we're going to go through a series of ball drills just like a wide receiver would. And so, you know, we may take 6 to 8 minutes in pre-practice and do old school ball drills where we're, you know, making them catch a low ball, making them catch a ball that's thrown behind them, making them catch a ball where they've got a twist or turn or whatever it might be. And so 5 minutes each day is spent on route running and catching with the quarterbacks. And then the last component would be blocking. Now, some places that I've coached the fullback as well as the tailback. here at Auburn, I just coach the tailbacks, and our tight end coach coaches the fullbacks. So for the tailbacks at Auburn, most of our time is spent in pass protection. And to be real honest, my favorite drill in pass protection is just old school one-on-one versus the linebackers, where we're going to work on protecting and the different techniques and fundamentals that it involves in protecting the quarterback when you've got an outside pass rusher like a defensive end, you've got to block them, or even a linebacker that's coming through the middle of the field through the A gaps, and you've got to protect. And so I really like to do our pass protection live against, you know, our other teammates. And so if I get 15 minutes, 5 minutes is going to be pass protection, 5 minutes is going to be routes with the quarterbacks, and 5 minutes will be on, you know, just developing myself as a runner. And so the great thing about spring practice is that's something that typically we're able to do every day.
Coach, the pass protection obviously is key for a lot of coaches and their running backs. What are some of the things you're able to do to teach your guys to win those blocks? Because a lot of times, physically, they're giving up some size, maybe even strength, to those guys that they have to block. What's the coaching points for winning that block?
Well, the first thing is, and I coached with a gentleman at the Air Force Academy that was named Dick Inga. And Coach Inga was actually on the national championship at Minnesota back in the early 50s. And Coach Inga used to always have a saying. He used to say, you know, you got to have the want-to theory. And so I think that's where it starts in pass protection is the want-to theory. But the thing we like to talk about in pass protection, and really the simplest way to put it, is we want to try to always keep our butt to the quarterback. So we need to know where the launch point is for the quarterback in whatever, you know, pass play that you've called, where that quarterback is going to throw the ball from. And then kind of in a sense, you want to keep your body between the quarterback and the guy that's rushing the passer. And so we talk a lot about, hey, just make sure you keep your butt looking at the quarterback, because you know where he's supposed to be, and always do that. You know, we talk about our hands and our eyes. We talk about not lunging. We talk about really the same kind of fundamentals almost that you might teach an offensive lineman in pass protection. And so it's something that we work on every day, because I think it's probably the skill for a running back that they come to you least equipped to do in college, because most of these kids that we recruit, they're great runners. They've got great make-or-miss ability. They can break a tackle. They've got great acceleration. But a lot of them have never had to pass protect. And so that's the thing that is new for them. We watch every rep that they do in the different drills so we can talk technique and teach them, you know, the different fundamentals that we want to get accomplished.
Coach, a lot of our time that we spend with our players too is also in the classroom, and we probably get a pretty good portion of our 20 hours at the college level is spent watching film or teaching them in the classroom. What's your approach with your running backs in the classroom setting?
Well, you're exactly right, Keith. And to be honest, that's probably the part of the job that I enjoy more than any. And the way that I've always taught is, you're not a lecture teacher. I'm not going to stand in front of them and lecture them about, hey, here's how we're going to run this play. Here's how it's going to be blocked. Here's how you're going to do it. I love to have interaction with everyone in the room. So if you've got a room of 10 running backs, all 10 of those running backs are going to be engaged in the conversation. And again, I'm a little bit old school. We're going to have that grease board and we're going to, you know, draw the play, and then I'm going to make them get up and draw the play, and then I'm going to make them teach me the play, and then we're going to watch it, and when we watch it, we're going to talk about what's good, what's not good, how could we do better, what did you see here. And so I really believe in involving everyone in the room and active teaching. So it's interaction for 45 minutes or an hour or however long we're in there. And again, like I said, Keith, that's probably one of the highlights of my day, is getting in that meeting room with the players and talking ball with them.
Coach, obviously the game becomes a grind, and you know, when you think about the length of the season now, it just seems to be getting longer and longer every year, with, you know, especially at the college level where you have championship games and bowl games and all those things. How do you make that grind fun for your players?
Well, I think one of the things that's important is trying to keep balance in your life. You know, don't try to make, you know, hey, this game's life or death or something like that, because it's still ultimately a game. And I think it's important that, you know, you keep your priorities, what your priorities really should be. And for me, it's my faith, it's my family, it's the relationships with our players, it's making sure they get that degree, and the importance of academics. And so I think the first thing is just making sure that you've got it as a coach, but that you can convey it to your players too, to keep a balance. And then I think it's important on those days, because they are required to have one day off, hey, get away from it. I think we had a Navy SEAL come and talk to our team a couple of years ago, and that's one of the things he really emphasizes, is to rest and to be as refreshed as you possibly can. And so, hey, on the day we get off, guys, as a player, you get off, get away from it. Because when you're here, I want you here. But once you leave that building, hey, I want you to go be a student. I want you to enjoy the college experience. I want you to, you know, go on a date. I want you to have, you know, go to the movie. I want you to have a life outside of football. And I think that all boils back to having balance.
Coach, your guys obviously are very good at running the football. You guys are always up near the top in the nation in terms of rushing yards per game. What's your favorite run play in your offense?
Really, that's a good question. There's probably more than just one. I'm kind of an old school power and counter guy, you know, the north south, and that's one of the things that in the league that we're in, it's hard to go sideways. In high school, you get players that can just outrun people and run on the perimeter and just make big plays, but at this level, it's a one-cut north and south league, and so I'm a power and counter guy. At the same time, when we do have a little bit more mobile running quarterback like Auburn's had, you know, with Nick Marshall or Cam Newton, people like that, just the different variations of the inside zone and the different options that we can run off the inside zone. So it tends to vary from year to year, but if you had to really pin me down, I'd say the power play.
Coach, let's talk about that power play, maybe get into the details a little bit, because I see guys draw that play up all the time and go through the coaching points for the line, and the running backs sometimes don't hear all the coaching points and what they need to know. So what are you teaching your running backs on the power play?
Well, I think the first thing you need, and this is the way we teach our players, you know, hey, why are you running a particular play? I mean, why do you run the power? Why do you run the counter? Why do you run the inside zone? Why do you run the buck sweep? Why do you run the outside zone? What, you know, what's the reason or philosophy behind running the play? And really for us, when you run the power play, the first thing is we want to try to run the power play into a six-man box if we can. We will still run it into a seven-man box, but we would like to run it into a six-man box. We want to run the play because we've got a contained defensive end that's got his outside arm free, and he's going to try to do everything he can to contain everything inside of him. So you've got an outside arm free defensive end. And really, for us, the power play is a play where our weak side guard is going to pull, and we call that technique a skippy pull. He's going to skip pull, and he's going to pull around and be responsible for the play side linebacker. Our fullback's going to kick out the defensive end. Our right tackle and right guard are going to get vertical push on the down lineman and get back to the second linebacker in the box. Our center's going to block back on the nose guard or the one technique weak side. And then we tell our running back to slide and dive. And he's responsible for hitting the A-gap. And if there is a clean shot in the A-gap, he's going to hit it 100 miles an hour. Most of the time, it's a little bit dirty. You'll see opposite color jersey in the A-gap. So at that point in time, we tell him to get into the puller's hip pocket. And hopefully, if we're calling it against the right defense, our defensive end is going to get kicked out by our fullback. Our tailback will now get into the hip pocket of a pulling guard, and we'll, you know, run the ball for 4, 5, 6, 7 yards, whatever it may be. Now, there's a lot of variations to what can actually happen. You could get a wrong shoulder defensive end, and now your fullback's going to have to log block that defensive end. Or now our guard's going to have to go around it, but we still tell the tailback the same thing. He just needs to stay in that guard's hip pocket. Then, at the second level, that guard could get a tight scraping linebacker or a wide scraping linebacker. And so there's just a lot of variations. There are a lot of fine coaching points that I think you need to make to your players, and they need to understand it. And so, and that's really one of our philosophies as well, Keith. We don't run 17 different running plays. We've only got about really 5 different runs. But we want our players, you know, to be experts in how they're blocked and what to do off the different variations that the defense can give you.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Coach. There's another area where you're kind of an expert in, and I think it goes back to your playing days. You were fifth, still are fifth, in Arkansas football history in punt returns. And obviously, I think that's a position that sometimes that gets taken for granted, too, that you take your guy who can catch the ball and maybe do some things out there. But coach our listeners through some of the main points of what you want your returners to do on a punt.
Well, Keith, you're exactly right. And it's really interesting because this spring we've taken a look at a couple of really good athletes that we've got and tried to get them to catch punts for us. And it's not real natural for, you know, for some of those guys, and they've struggled with it a little bit. And so I've always felt like usually the best punt catchers that you've got are guys that were maybe baseball players, you know, maybe in high school or junior high, they played baseball because, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, the most important thing is to catch the ball. I mean, we call it the 5 don'ts of the kicking game is don't let the ball hit the ground and roll. And so, you know, I've had probably more success coaching kids that at one time played baseball and in particular in the outfield. But, you know, we talk about trying to catch punts moving forward. We use the analogy of, hey, you're a center fielder and you're trying to throw somebody out at home plate. And so let's catch that ball on the move. We like to catch that ball high in our shoulder pads with our elbows in. We always talk about taking our chin to our chest when we make that catch and then trying to catch it moving forward. And to be honest, Keith, we every single day we're catching punts. So there's not a day that goes by that we go on the practice field that we're not catching punts because, again, I think it's one of those parts of the game that can be a great advantage for you or one that can, you know, really hurt you and your chances to win. And so it's something we spend a great deal of time on and something we've been real good at here at Auburn, and hopefully we can continue to be.
Coach, another one of the hats you wear is that of recruiting coordinator, and obviously the SEC is very competitive in terms of how hard you guys got to work in that phase of the game to win the recruiting game. What is it, you know, that you're looking for? Obviously, everybody's looking for the best athlete, but when, you know, you get outside of the film, what are some of the main things you look for in those prospective student athletes?
Well, I think, Keith, the first thing, you're exactly right. I mean, it starts with a certain talent level. I mean, we've said it before, you've heard it said before, you can't win the Kentucky Derby on a mule. It's just not going to happen. And that's the same way coaching football in this league. I mean, you've got to have a certain talent level. You've got to have a certain speed. You got to have a certain size that's conducive to be honest, when we talk about it, we're the closest league that there is. And really in the SEC West, you're the closest that there is to the NFL before you're in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so you better have players that are NFL type players. And so, but the thing that I think that you've got to have is you better recruit some character as well. And that's something that I think we've done a really nice job of at Auburn. Now, we don't have perfect kids at Auburn, just like your own children. We don't have perfect kids, but we've got good kids. And I think when you recruit kids of character, those are the kids that understand attitude, that understand work ethic and bringing, you know, the hard hat mentality every day. You got to have kids that are serious about getting a degree and aren't just trying to use Auburn to get to the next level. And that's something that we've been really, really good at, you know, with graduation rates. And I think when you get to those intangibles, yeah, you better get a talented player, but you better get a talented player with those intangibles. And if you do, I think those are the kids that improve. I think those are the kids that buy into the team first mentality. And hey, those are the kids that, you know, are going to give you a chance to win a championship.
Coach, I had an interesting story shared by one of your colleagues, Coach Hand, about a mistake he made as a young coach where he put all the new jerseys in the dryer and forgot to take them out, and they ended up in a ball. I'm sure you don't have a mistake like that, but what's a mistake you made as a young coach, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I think one of the things, and it just doesn't happen with young coaches, but one of the things that happened to me and it's happened to me even as a middle-aged or now old coach is I think sometimes you form opinions too quickly. You know, hey, you're going to decide 3 days into a kid's career if he can play or not. And that's not what you need to do, particularly at some positions, particularly maybe your lineman positions that need a little bit more time to develop and a little bit more time in the crock pot, so to speak. And so I think probably one of the biggest mistakes I've made as I look back is, you know, trying to pass judgment too quickly on a player. And, you know, hey, I thought this kid would never play, and the next thing you know, he's an all-SEC player. Or I thought this kid was going to be a great player, and he's really not that good. And so I think one of the things that I think, you know, coaches in general, but one of the mistakes I've made is just trying to pass judgment too quickly on a kid.
What's the best coaching advice you've received in your career?
Good question. I think it's just be yourself. You know, hey, don't try to go be Vince Lombardi. Don't go try to be Woody Hayes. Just go be who you are. And that's going to be plenty good enough. And again, and I've already shared this before in this interview, but hey, those kids don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so you better care about your kids and be genuine, because they can see it and feel it when you're not that way. But those would be probably the two biggest points of advice I'd give.
What's a book you would recommend to our listeners?
I'll tell you a book I'd recommend. I just finished a book called The Complete Running Back, and I did it with Human Kinetics. And if there's any listener out there that would like a good football book, I think The Complete Running Back is really good, and you can get it through Human Kinetics or get it on Amazon. But other than that, Keith, I'm a leadership training reader, and my guy is a guy by the name of John Maxwell. John Maxwell's a guy that very Christian-based leadership principles, and I think there's probably a lot of different coaches throughout the country that read his stuff, and some of it's applicable to athletics, but there's a lot that's probably not. It's just compatible to character development and things of that nature.
What's your favorite one of his books?
Oh man, I like them all, to be honest. Let me see here. There's just one of them. I like Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. I think that's one that I've recently read. I think Thinking for a Change is one that's good. I like Intentional Living is a fairly new one that he's written fairly soon. The 21 Most Powerful Minutes in a Leader's Day, the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, developing the leaders around you. I mean, there's a bunch of John Maxwell books that I like, and probably hard to say, you know, which one do I like the best.
I have one of them sitting on my shelf. I have the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, so I'm familiar with that.
Absolutely. A lot of good stuff there. If you're reading the right things, Keith.
Coach, what's a scheme that you're really excited about right now, or maybe something that you know you're looking at I guess we're into spring already, into the spring now.
Well, I tell you what, we're doing a little bit more of, Keith, that we haven't at Auburn lately, is we're doing some RPOs in the passing game. And we have a new offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey. He came to us from Arizona State. Prior to that, he was at Southern Miss. And so it's something, to be honest, that is a little bit new for me and some things that I really haven't done a whole lot of in terms of the RPOs with the run/pass game. And so it's something we're 5 days into spring practice, and there's some new things there that we're doing that I'm anxious to see how it kind of evolves and how it grows into our offense and how we'll utilize it in the fall.
Coach, technology really seems to be taking over the game. There's all these new gadgets and technology, software programs, et cetera, popping up. What's your favorite piece of technology right now that you use in coaching?
Well, I tell you what, I think this, Keith, and to me as a coach that's now in his 28th year of coaching Division I college football, there's really two inventions that have dramatically helped me as a coach. The first is on the recruiting trail, and that's something that is just so simple, and that's a navigation system. I mean, you used to go recruiting and you had all these maps and you had to stop and look at the map and you'd go, I mean, it just took forever to get from one school to the next. And so for me, the navigation system is maybe the greatest invention ever, because that has saved a significant amount of time on the road. And then the other, I think it's amazing what Huddle has done. You know, now in recruiting, and I mean, you can get on that computer and within 7 seconds, you can get to any recruit in the world or any game that you want to watch in the world. And so that technology has been a tremendous a tremendous time saver for coaches. And so that would be the two inventions over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years that have really helped college coaches more than anything is the invention of Huddle and how you can utilize it both in the college game, but particularly when recruiting in high school, and then obviously the navigation systems once you're out on that road recruiting.
Yeah, no more stacks of VHS or DVDs.
I'm telling you, and I tell you what, the high school coaches think Huddle is like, that's number one for the high school coach for sure, because they're not having to stay up there until all nights creating highlight tapes.
Exactly. I remember doing that, having to put those together on VHS, yeah.
No doubt, no doubt.
Coach, what major concerns do you have for the future of the game, and what ideas maybe do you have that address those?
You know, I think there's always got to be the player safety, you know, and it's obviously a physically demanding sport, but the player safety element is something that I think you've always got to keep at the forefront, and then the equipment and the technologies that enhance player safety, and then. Along with that is just the adjustments maybe that you've had to make as a coach to keep player safety in mind. I mean, I can remember when I was playing and first started coaching, I mean, you would have 20 days of spring practice and you would, you know, beat the heck out of each other for 20 days, and every day was full speed and tackle, and you know, you had train wreck after train wreck with defensive ends and defensive backs and receivers and running backs and quarterbacks, and that's obviously changed and been scaled back. You know, now we're to 15 days and you can only scrimmage like three of those 15 days, and And I think those are some steps in the right direction. And so I think just always being aware and putting player safety at the forefront is very, very important.
Coach, what advice would you give that young guy looking to make it in this profession long term?
As you're talking about as a coach?
Yeah, as a coach.
The coach, Fisher DeBerry may have said it best, you know, make the big time where you are. It doesn't matter if you're coaching in the SEC, you're coaching in the NFL, or you're coaching at the local junior high. Wherever you are, just be the best you can there. And if you do a good job, hey, good things are going to happen, whether that's success at the junior high or whether that's getting the opportunity to move up to the next level. And so I would just say what Coach DeBerry said, hey, make it the big time wherever you are, and do the best you can. Just enjoy making a difference in kids' lives, because I would like to think that you know, when my career is over, I hope my players will look back at me and say, boy, you know, old Coach Horton, he made a difference in my life. And I look back to my high school coaches and my junior high coaches and my college coaches, and that's what I can say about those guys. And so, you know, just the power of influence that a coach has, don't take that for granted, because you've got so much influence over those students in your school and those student-athletes in your school, and just don't take that for granted.
Coach, I always like to finish up here with a quick two-minute drill, just some fun questions, quick answers. So here's the first one. Schematically, what, in your opinion, what is the toughest defense to face?
Whew. Odd front, multiple blitzes.
What's your favorite goal line play?
Isolation, smash mouth. Let's run them over.
Turf or grass?
Grass.
What's your favorite backfield set?
I'm still old school, I formation.
Day game or night game?
Day game. You can get on that couch and watch other games at night, particularly after a win.
Have some time to enjoy it as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
If you had to run your offense from one formation, what would it be?
I like what we do at Auburn. I would say a spread offense. That's with two backs in the backfield, three receivers, of which one of those receivers can be a flex tight end.
What's your favorite quote?
I'd say Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Here's a controversial one. Should the kickoff be eliminated?
I don't think so, because I don't know that research dictates that. I think if research did dictate that there were a lot more injuries because of the kickoff, then yes, possibly. But I don't think the numbers or the research dictates that, so I'll say no.
If you could pick one football coach from the past to learn from, who would it be?
Vince Lombardi.
Good job on the two-minute drill there, Coach. Here's a final question I have for you. And obviously, you've been at some great places and have had a lot of success, so I'm sure our coaches are interested in this. What's the one thing you would point to that gives your team, your players, the winning edge?
Great question. I think that character does count. Everybody's got talent. The players have it. The coaches have it. All those intangibles matter other than talent. You know, your football intelligence, your drive, your determination, your coachability, your toughness, your competitiveness. But I think all those intangibles is what makes you a championship coach and a championship team and a championship player. And so I think that starts with your character.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time with us. How can our listeners connect with you?
I am on Twitter, Coach Tim Horton, and you're always welcome to contact me through email at coachtimhorton@auburn.edu. And Keith, I just really appreciate the opportunity to share with y'all today. And hey, you're always welcome on the plains. Come see us.
All right, Coach. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, Keith.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.